Who here does not speak Dutch? Okay, that's enough. There's enough people that don't speak Dutch. We'll do this in English. I really didn't really prepare anything. I don't have slides. I'm not going to talk much. I'm tired. I'm glad to see so many people interested in this Bob session. It's about Vim, so if you're not here for Vim, you're in the wrong room. Everybody? this Bob is actually about Vim 7. I'm not going to talk about the old stuff. I'm going to talk about the new stuff. What is coming. And the only preparation I did was print out some votes. You know, people that sponsor Vim. Well, they actually sponsor me, not Vim. They can vote for features. So I made a list of features. Some very boring, like stop adding features. or increased VI compatibility. And some fancy ones, like IntelliSense completion. IDE features, improved folding, well, hoping. Maybe you can just pass them around.
Sure.
I'm not sure if there's enough for everybody, so maybe you have to share.
How about sharing when it's sort of 4 times done?
Yeah. Well, if you're together, just only take one. Actually, I should have one myself. Hello.
I want it back.
You have only one for three, so maybe I can have it. You can see this is not organized. I'm planning to do a lot of work on Vim 7. And at the moment I don't have another job. I do things like organizing the bazaar and other parts of this conference. But I'm relying on sponsors and other things to keep me fed. And so I can spend more time with Vim. And at least I'll try to keep up with all the bug reports. But that's not very interesting to talk about tonight, so let's not do that. What I'd like to know is what people want to see in Vim 7. And also a little bit about how to implement that, because there's a lot of choices to be made. If you look at the voting list, the top feature being asked for is context-sensitive completion or IntelliSense completion. Somebody has an idea how to do that?
Yeah. Just an observation from the Eclipse project. They wrote their own Java compiler. You know, I mean, it's not something you can do generically, I don't think. Well, maybe there's a generic framework or interface.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at Eclipse, then it's just frameworks. It's a Java ID. It's not a Java ID at all. It's a platform. Everything's done via extensions. One of the extensions, standard extension, the editor extension. The editor extension relies on the Java compiler, which the implement supply, to provide hints to the editor when they do the testing thing.
So what you're saying is, you actually need a compiler, or at least a large part of the compiler,
yeah.
The parser, to understand the language, to do good kind of completion.
Yeah, and it has to be reliable.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sit on the rest of it. It has to be correct, so you have to do it properly.
And I suppose Eclipse, or the compiler that comes with it, is using the class files, so the pre-compiled Java files to search for class definitions. And
I think it adds debug information as such, you know, and then I believe it actually compiles from source. This is not something I usually want, I've read about it all, but class from source is a special name to that particular project. But I'm sure it's an extensible model because of
that. Yeah, so that's a very easy language because the class explains itself, you can use to enumerate and actually come back with methods and all.
Well, I'm not sure about the license there, but perhaps initial implementation could use that very compiler supply to go to Eclipse and implement IntelliSense in Vim.
Same goes for Python. Python is also a self-reflecting language. So if you start the interpreter, for instance, you import some module, you can then ask that module to give a dictionary of all the methods and symbols it has. And same goes for functions.
I think actually Python would be simple if you have Python there.
Indeed.
So you just ask the Python interpreter to do the listing of the possible completion. Right?
Indeed. And what good would it be to have Python completion without having Python itself?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah.
That would be weird to write a Python program if you don't have a Python interpreter.
Indeed.
It's the same way in Tickle Shell if you have command line completions. Mm-hmm. Tickle inline extension. It actually asks the interpreter for what's valid at that point and gets it back and then calls it back.
You can make a list of languages that could be used that way.
I was actually thinking if you're planning to do it extensively, like the scripting languages and other plugins that you can use these days, rather than having sort of a core way of making it maintainable, that's a lot of things are handled by maintainers.
Yes, I certainly think it should go that way, so that there's not just C code that does the work, because then you'll probably get stuck very quickly, and it's an awful thing to like re-implement the Java compiler or what it's doing, because that's basically what you have to do it reliably. Find some way to do a plugin for IntelliSense, and then using the compiler or whatever is doing the parsing to at a lower level, some kind of interface to Vim.
And maybe we should look at rebinding the thing, which is actually give you API for command completion. So, if you rebind, you just tell them these are what can be done.
But does readline do completion for things like Java or Python?
It does generic completion.
No, so it's just for the interface. The
indeed.
Idea.
Yeah.
On the film development list, a couple of months ago, half a year, I thought there was something about somebody who made completion for Windows that was working with film,
I
remember correctly.
I don't have time to look into how it works, but yeah, somebody wrote a script to do some kind of completion. Did anybody use it? Try that?
Excuse me for my ignorance. Context-sensitive
completion. Okay, good question. Some people are lost here. The idea is that while you're typing your source code, you can complete things like variable names that have been used in the header file.
So that's for every language on itself.
Yeah, it's very language sensitive. Mm-hmm. But it goes further that when you refer to a certain class, then you type after that dot something, and the start of a method or the start of a member of that class, and you get completion, you get a list of the possible members of the class. Possibly
you want to go beyond just syntax.
Oh, yes. And, I think it's important to have a reliable kind of thing, not just guessing. It might be this or it might be that, but the complete list. It's this or nothing else.
Yeah, indeed.
Is that true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Computers do well is grunt work. You know, they do tedious, repetitive tasks very well. And tedious, repetitive tasks are going back and checking any arguments. Fucking bullshit. And computers do that well, so let's teach them to do it. And there's arguments against it. It makes programs very lazy. You know, they say, it's that one. How many arguments have you got? It makes them lazy, but damn, it works, and it makes people buy stuff. And so if all the developers I use, especially Microsoft developers, really want to get a job about it, rely on this stuff.
It would at least encourage developers to use longer variable names.
Well, I mean, control P stuff. I mean, that's just already in Vim, you have automatic completion.
Yeah.
And that's not well publicized, it's just a wonderful feature. So I mean, if you type A and you type control P, then you'll get and with the correct setting, you get like a menu of all possible completions in the current buffer.
Well, you can do it different ways. Actually, I use Control N mostly.
Whatever
you want.
But you know, but this is all about configuring permissions and compiled modules that you link to. You know, right across the piece.
I think on the interface level, I think it will be very important to really display it as a list, some kind of drop-down list or something.
Yeah.
I think that's more intuitive and gives you a better impression of the options you have than, for instance, the current file name completion, where you can just click next file, next file, next file, next file until you have the one you want.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that be a generic extension to the current scheme anyway?
Oh, would be a good thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's... I think it would be a bit difficult to implement, not impossible, to have some kind of pop-up window for that list, so you can scroll through it or whatever. You have an overview of the possible options, because currently if you do completion, you can only see the current completion and maybe how many others there are,
but
that's it. You have to go through them all to find the one you're looking for. You might go one too far, for example.
Indeed.
Of course, if you're using a GUI version of Vim, it's easy to bring up a pop-up window with alternatives. But it gets complicated if you're just typing and suddenly the pop-up window comes there.
Yeah.
You don't want to grab the mouse to do something. Yeah. If you're using an Xterm, it gets even more complicated. So you can imagine that it would be a lot of work to do that right. And I mostly use an Xterm myself. So I wouldn't be satisfied if it doesn't work in the next one.
I wouldn't, definitely not. Yeah, I think one of the beauties of Vim is that you can use it in an Xterm and in a graphical interface, and everywhere you want you get the same editor.
That's right.
But I think with things like N-curses, it should be very well possible to create another window on top of the editing window.
What version of N-curses on what system?
Yeah, good point.
I don't want to use N-curses because of that reason. There's too many incompatible versions around, even versions that crash Vim. I have to configure, there's a few lines that if it's this version of N-curses, skip it because it doesn't work. I don't think we want to go in that direction.
Default well menu, or something like well menu, but when people say intelligence, that's, I think it's a trademark.
Yeah.
It means a thing.
Yeah.
It means it's something you can go by. And if it's going to work exactly like that, then yeah, you're going to be tighter. The pop-up window is going to have this configurable delay. You know, delay since in class bit something, and then the window appears. And then you can up and down with your cursor if you want. But intelligence means a thing, or else you're going to give people things that they don't want. If somebody's asking intelligence, people vote for intelligence. They know what they need.
Actually, I don't think we can use the word intelligence.
No.
It's just a way of talking about it. But
if that word has been used, I think, isn't it? No, it hasn't. No, in brackets, intelligence. Yes, it has. So you bought it.
I don't know if it's a trademark.
Most people thought intelligence. So.
I think it's something that was introduced. that was introduced by Microsoft. So they're bound to have a trademark or whatever on it.
We'll find a new title for it.
Oh, yeah.
Still
what about using the CTAGS feature for that? I mean, CTAGS. I mean, Exuvia and CTAGS can do parse array throughout the languages, and right now it probably just puts the what function is defined, but it could as well put what parameters are defined for that function.
Actually,
and a lot of code is already implemented there, so it sounds to me like a lot of rewriting, and maybe it can be reused.
Actually, I think. I think. Put it in the microwave. I don't know. I'm talking. I can't eat. Put it in front of everybody's nose. Let them smell it.
Sorry. Public domain.
Thanks for the interruption.
Yeah, for dance with you.
I think the completion script that's on the website now, I think it's also called IntelliSense or something like that. I think it's using the tags file for that. And the main reason should be that tags are very fast. Looking up tags is very fast. And it has already been implemented for quite a few languages. Of course, exuberant CTAGS is what I'm referring to, because the original CTAGS already did C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exuberant C tags not only does it for several languages, you can also remember for a member of a class what class it belongs to.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so that's information we need. Actually, we were talking about Java, Python, TCL, TCL, which are languages that are sort of interpreters. There you can start the interpreter and use the interpreter to get information. For a C program, you can't do that. You have to look into header files. And if you compile something like GTK program, you know how long it takes to look through the header files. So for interactive work, I don't think you can do that, to look through all the header files.
So you have to compile the header files to have some...
You need something to do that looking up in a compiler kind of way, or a syntax kind of way.
It should do that dynamically. Not like when you... I have only taken a glimpse at C-tax, but as far as I know, you just run a command and then it builds some kind of index file of source code. Well, it should do that more or less automatically. I mean, when I edit a file, I save it, I go back to some other file, and I want the completion to be current, to rerun some program every time I edit a file.
You want to trigger on the write of the file.
Yeah. Again, Eclipse doesn't solve this problem. You know, Eclipse is an events module, and every time you can subscribe to certain events, and you as a plugin can subscribe to events published by other parts of the infrastructure. Again, the file save in the event is used, for example, if you look at the structure diagram of your program, class structure diagram, it will dynamically change when you save the source code. And it's an incremental change. This is the thing.
That's a good
thing. Because you're not recompiling the whole source code, which I think C-tags has to do. I could be wrong there.
Well, you can run C-tags whenever you save the file. It's not too complicated to implement.
It's an events mechanism. Something to kick off something to.
That is.
We already have auto commands for opening files, so.
Oh, yeah, you can use auto commands, but. You know, that's already going to implementation as well.
Yeah.
But it was already talked about that BIM has auto-completion now.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is something that can't be auto-completed, then it's something new. So shouldn't that be a trigger to start doing the whole VTEX thing again?
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's difficult.
Where it potentially goes and compiles the whole program just to get visible language.
Well, you could maybe do a diff.
That's getting complicated. But
okay.
The idea is if you, for example, edit a header file in one window and edit the source file in another window, you write the header file with a change member of a structure or something, and you go back to your source file, you immediately want to see that completion there.
Yeah, okay.
So I think that's logical.
You have to, you know, put the implementation perfect. Programming language off to the side, otherwise you become. And by which I mean you write great in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely want to avoid, including lots of heavyweight things. Of course, Vim will grow. That's unavoidable. Because everybody wants new features. You can see it on the list.
Yeah.
I think there was an item that says stop adding features. Oh, it's actually the last one. Yeah.
How much does that cost?
So, you know, the opinion of most people is that we do want more features, which means Vim will grow, but it will not grow more than computers grow, that memory grows, or use speed grows. So it grows a bit slow.
It keeps getting faster and better.
Yeah. So if you really have an old computer, you might want to use an old version of Vim.
And you can disable features compile time.
Yeah, you can disable features. But that's a tough decision, though. You might want those features.
Yeah.
So you better buy the computer then.
Yeah, indeed.
Anyway, I'm going to do more about IntelliSense completion, or shall we pick another one?
Yeah, pick another one.
Let's pick another one.
Do you know that copies of annoying bugs?
Actually, there's not too many annoying bugs at this moment. Something that annoyed me is that I get a patch that seems to be a very nice addition. For example, the KDE interface that's using the Qt library.
Mm-hmm.
I said, ah, nice, now we can have KDE programs with embedded Vim widget.
Yeah.
Ah, that's great. But if you look into how it's implemented and how it's working, for me, it's picking the wrong font, so the display is wrong. Other people complain the Asian languages can't be typed. Other people complain about this and about that. And there's no maintainer. Nobody sends me bug fixes. That can be quite annoying.
Yeah.
So the problem is I hesitate to dive into KDE libraries, Qt libraries, to do it all myself because it's taking a lot of time. I didn't write that code, so it's a handicap. So I'm really hoping that somebody picks up and sees the messages on the, there's a mailing list for it, KDE something. But I really hope that somebody picks it up where others left it, and especially for things like Asian languages support. People in America are not interested, and I can't really understand what the problem is.
But wasn't that the same thing with GTK2?
Yeah, GTK2...
When it was finally, before it was integrated, there was a lot of support, and when it was integrated, the person who integrated it was...
Yeah, the person
disappeared.
Who did all the work on GTK, I think it was 2.
Yeah, it was 2.
He really disappeared into nothing. Nobody knew who he was.
Okay.
Fortunately, there's enough people using GTK to send me a few patches now and then. So, and actually I'm using GTK version myself, and it's working reasonably well.
Yeah, but it was so weird. He was very actively on the list, and
yeah.
When it was finally integrated, he disappeared.
Finished.
I don't know if he died, but...
I don't think so. I think he was using not his real name for that.
I think it is now a part of the official KDE release. I mean, if you install KDE, it's part of it.
You get KDE
3, yes. So it should be like in a maintenance... I mean, they should fix bugs.
Yeah, they should.
They should. Yeah. Well, it means also a lot of users theoretically, because you get it if you install KDE.
Anyway, let me not complain about things that annoy me. It's not very useful.
The library that you have on the website, that's all an easier sort of. I think it's a, although it's not high on the code list, that's because a lot of people just use the stuff and don't do that. And it's kind of a really cheap way to get features and documents. I think you understand the complex structure and source code. But you don't need to understand that, they just need to write some
script. Let's talk a bit about Vim script language, because I found it interesting myself. I've always started with it to keep it really simple and easy, just the minimal things. And said, well, if you want to use something complex, use the Perl interface, use the Python interface, use something else, use an external program. But what seems to be happening, it doesn't pick up. People use the Python interface for one thing, but then drop it because it doesn't work on a Windows system that doesn't have Python. And, to cut a long story short, people want more Vim scripting, more powerful Vim scripting. And I like Python quite a bit, especially the way that it uses data types. So what I'm thinking about is to add a list data type and a dictionary data type. So if you don't know Python, a list is simply a list of things. The things can be anything. So it's just ordered, so you can count them 0, 1, 2, 3, etc. You can append an item, you can delete an item halfway, and things like that. And a dictionary is a bit more complex. It's an associative array, basically. So you can have an index that is a word or a number, anything, basically. Anything that's constant. And with that you can do a lot of things. So those are the things that I think of adding. And once you have those things, you can make your scripts much more powerful. I think also for the IntelliSense completion, you can use those types. To write your scripts much more compact and more powerful. Not going into details how it works, let's basically assume it works like it does in Python. Would you like to see that? Yeah?
I haven't done any Vim scripting, but I do know Python, and I do know that I like those features. So
okay.
Especially also the fact that you can say for item in list, do anything.
Yeah, that loop thing is for variable name in a list, and then it goes through the whole list, and it's just one line.
Yeah.
And you could do so many things with that. Actually, I don't think you need a lot of loop kind of structure. Looping through a list is what we need. But then, what kind of list? You can have a list of keywords. You can have a list.